Welcome to the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast, the show about life on the street as a beat cop and life in the shop as a woodworker. They pull no punches and tell it like it is, so buckle in and get ready. Now, here are your hosts from Marazzo Woodworking, Mike Marazzo, and from Full House Woodworking, Brandon Silvera.
Thank you, Jason. Hi, Brandon.
Jason.
I haven't talked to him in a while, but I do like hearing his voice every week.
It's very bassy.
Yeah, he's got that broadcast voice. The voice you need for a woodworker, apparently. Right.
Hey. It's all the sawdust that right. We inhale.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 73. Mike Marazzo, that's Brandon Silvera. We're back. It's been only a couple of weeks. I hope you've enjoyed the blast from the past episodes that you heard the last 2 weeks. I think we did episode 2.
It's the Randy Rodriguez episode, 73.
73? It could be the Mike Hartenstein episode, 73. He was a Bear, defensive lineman. Won the Super Bowl. One of the lower...
current Giants reliever.
Oh, yours is a current Giants reliever. I don't have a...
That's the only 73 I could think of.
I don't have a current... Bear 73 that I'm paying attention to at the moment. You said you were going to go out in the wild this past week, and I said, let me know if you see any Caleb Williams running around out in the woods, wild bears, and you didn't respond. So I'm assuming you didn't see any wild bears on your camping trip last week.
No bears.
No bears.
No bears were by the beach.
Oh, you camped on the beach?
Well, not on the beach. We were like, so there's the beach, and then there's a very large dune, and then there was our campground.
Oh, that's cool.
So close to the beach.
Yeah, nice.
Was not expecting overnight precipitation.
So not prepared for rain? How'd that
No,
go?
Thankfully I had put up the little freaking rain guards on the tent.
Yeah.
Just to make
to keep
sure
the heat
like
in. That helps too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean to shade, right?
Okay.
So but I was not expecting water to be falling from the sky in June.
In California, yeah.
In California, of all places.
So do you?
So that was, I mean, that was fun.
Do you have one of those like six-person tents?
So we have a four-person tent and then a three-person tent.
Okay.
So we had put the kids in the four-person while Annie and I took the three.
Okay.
And then after about 20 minutes, quickly realized that the five-year-old is going to annoy the ever-loving out of the older two. So me, Annie, Mackenzie, and the two dogs were in the three-person tent while my 12-year-old and 10-year-old enjoyed a four-person tent to themselves.
Nice. They kind of like Tom Haverford in Parks and Rec. They had a generator, like PlayStation up there. They had the fondue machine. They had all that stuff in
yeah.
their tent. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Next time we go, so like we were joking that like this is the trial run for like tent camping because we haven't done that as a family. Annie and I have done it a couple times before we had kids, and you know whatever. The main thing was there was make sure you bring a tent, firewood, and a lot of alcohol. Like that was pretty much all you needed,
right?
So this one was like, okay, this is the trial run. We're going to figure out, you know, what we need to prioritize, what we need to change. And very quickly we realized we're switching fucking tents.
Yeah. Good idea. So, I haven't been in a big tent.
And then
like
just
that.
Assume that there's going to be some sort of rain.
Right.
Oh, it's, I mean, honestly, the four person one is pretty big. I think you can get, the last time that I used it, we went up to a lake with her parents and they brought their motor home and all the kids slept in there, and then one of them was like, Mommy, I need you to stay with me. So I slept in the tent alone with the dog the whole time going, this is bullshit.
Oh, that's great.
So
I can't
but
say.
That one was nice. Like you could fit a whole air mattress in there.
Okay. So when I go hiking with my buddy Mark, we just have a single – well, you can fit two people in a tent. Because Kim went with us when we hiked out in Washington, and we actually hiked and stayed on the beach on the west, you know, very west peninsula on the beach. First night, pouring rain. Sucked. But then the weather cleared up. But it's okay with my wife in a small tent because you're, you know, like head to toe or foot to, I don't know. Very tight quarters. But the last time I was in a big
what? Wait. You're sharing a tent with your life, with your wife, and your
separate
head
sleeping
to toe?
Bags. Because it's so tight in there, because it's actually like, it's a very small tent.
Well, I guess a head to toe thing could be pretty good for you.
It could be, yeah.
That's for
stuff still lines up.
Sawdust after dark.
Right. But the last time I was in a big tent, like you're mentioning, like at least a 4-person tent, I don't have one, but my daughter does because she used to go camping with her boyfriend. So when we shoot, we would do simunitions training at work in a building that had no heat. So I would bring this tent and we'd bring heaters and we'd set it up in this office complex, set the tent up in the office, put the heaters inside the tent. And that's where we would, because for some reason our training was in fucking December when there's no heat on in the building and the paint bullets.
That's the best time to train.
Yeah. So I just remember my buddy Vince, we're sitting in this tent with the heat on in between. It wasn't our turn to go yet. So it's like five of us in there. And Vince is like, whose tent is this? I'm like, it's my daughter's. He's like, smells like sex in here. And I'm like, fuck you, asshole. He's like, what are they doing in this tent? I go, oh, come on, man. Stop it.
Exactly what you think they're doing.
Get out of the tent, you dick. So.
I guess you can just be cold.
Right. So that went, you know, then everyone's like, oh, yeah. So that was in my head first. So now I haven't been in a big tent since, and I don't want to.
It was kind of fun because it was entertaining for me. So I set up my chair in a way that I could watch this other campsite.
Oh, what's in the
other campsite?
There's
a group of, well, it's going to sound like I'm being pervy old guy, but that's not what was going on. I was just extremely entertained. It was a group of, they look like probably like early college young ladies that were on a camping trip together.
Continue.
I know. You're like, go on. So they pull up in a Lexus SUV.
Okay.
And they show up and they're just like kind of like jaw jacking around. They have nothing in the car.
Okay.
And I'm just sitting there. And I'm sitting there. I've got a beer. I'm just sitting there drinking it going, are they waiting for like
someone else? Yeah.
Like the rest of their group or like parents or like, all right, let's see where this goes. So they have some sort of discussion and then they all pile back into the car and they leave. And I'm like, all right, that's okay. Whatever. Maybe they're going out. Just wanted to scope out the site. And they come back about 45 minutes later. And all of a sudden they have some firewood, beer.
There you go.
And
bikinis,
a tent,
tent. Okay,
it was really cold the first day we were there, and I proceed to watch them struggle
putting up the tent
to get this tent put together, and I'm just sitting there just drinking my beer, just watching it. Like Annie and the kids are off, like they're doing their own little things and playing with the dogs, and I'm just sitting there just watching, enthralled, so entertained by watching them struggle.
No point did you get up and say you should help them?
No.
Okay.
They were getting it. They were just struggling.
Okay.
I think that would have been the weird thing to do is you go over there and like, I can't help but notice.
So
you suck at this.
I had my binoculars out.
So I'm going to come save you.
Right.
Like, no, that doesn't help anybody. Guess what? They got the tent put together, and now they have this sense of accomplishment.
Good job helping them out by not helping them. Push that woman agenda forward. They can do it on their own. They don't need a man.
But now they know they can pitch a tent.
The second person pitching a tent on that beach.
But no, it was really funny. Just so like, they never started a fire. They didn't even attempt that.
Oh, yeah. The tent took it out of them.
Probably realized that I'm assuming that they had bought firewood and didn't buy like matches or a lighter or anything.
Right. To set the
wood. To actually start the fire.
Yeah.
But they had the firewood, damn it.
That's good.
But it was entertaining.
So you had a good, good camp night. Is it just one day you went on that Monday?
Yeah, so we just went. We went overnight. We camped one night there, and then spent the rest of the day the following day on the beach.
Okay.
Kind of camped out there for the day and then came back.
Cool. All right. Sounds like you had fun.
That's we're doing a few of those this year where we just like quick overnights, kind of some like within a hour and a half of where we live, just to get out of the house and to do some stuff. And
yeah, we've been wanting to do that because I haven't gone hiking with my buddies in a couple of years. The last time we went to where was Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I missed last year because of the shoulder surgery, but Kim wants to go, and I'm like, when I go with my buddy Mark, he's got the topography maps, he does a compass, he's a mountain climber, he does all that shit. So I just go, where are we going? And he's like, we're going up that ridge. And I'm like, okay, I don't know
this way.
I don't know how to do any of it. I know how to put my tent up, and hide my food from bears. That's all I know how to do.
You don't know how to shoot an azimuth?
No, I've tried looking, watching videos. Mark's tried to tell me how to do it. I guess I never had to do it because I had Mark. So Kim's like, I want to go hiking. And I'm like, the boys don't want you with. We went, just Mark and Kim and I, to Washington once, which was great. But last year, getting ready for Wyoming, I said, hey, Kim would like to go. Mark was really quiet. Because there are these other two guys that go, Dave and his buddy. Yeah. And I go, all right.
That's all you hear.
Enough said. He goes, if it was just me and you, yeah, I don't care. But the other guys, I'm like, whatever, man. That's cool.
We took a vote.
Yeah, no women. And
the other guys, it was not us.
Yeah.
We voted in favor.
Yeah, right. So we haven't gone. Now, we have plenty of places in Illinois and Wisconsin and stuff that we can hike and camp as well on the weekend getaway. So we want to do some of that, I think, maybe this year. Although summer's this week starting and I haven't done shit. So, you know, whatever. I'm recovering from my
knees. You're pacing yourself.
Yeah. Well,
you're
bad yourself. Back, then surgery, now knee issues. It's kind of hard to do anything right now.
Yeah. Let's go sleep on the ground. That's going to do wonders for you.
Right. It's always good to lay on the ground.
It's been like a week. I'm just starting to feel better.
Yeah. I think the last night we would try and do 4 or 5 days, you know, so you're in the backcountry for 4 or 5 days. And the last one that we did really long was in Utah, and we were literally on rock sleeping for 4 nights. And that's when we decided it would be no longer than 3 nights, 4 days from then on, because that rock's really hard when you get to be really older. So now we just keep it to 4 days. And 3 nights in the backcountry. And then we stay for a couple extra days wherever we're at. So I'm supposed to be going this year. It's in September. It's pretty close. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it or not with this back and knee issue. It's like, fuck. I wish I was a robot sometimes. Didn't have any concerns about health issues. But
yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. So how was this past week at work?
It was good. So I have a recruit, and it's kind of a unique situation based on the last recruit that I had, because he's on his own training timeline. So he's not synced up with the current academy class that's going through. So I have one from the academy class that is going to be finishing up training here within the next 3 weeks. And that would coincide, like, I would finish with this one and then the other one would come back to me. So I would be staring at probably 2 straight months of having a recruit, which isn't awesome. So my boss kind of saved me from myself, and he gave the one that's going to be coming back, he gave him to another FTO. Oh,
good.
Which I feel bad about, because I look at it as any deficiencies in his training is my problem and it's my responsibility to fix it, not somebody else. But I also appreciate, you know, him not working me to death.
No, that's a good thing.
So anyways, I have this current recruit. And as always, when they rotate from the midnight team tells us they're all kinds of messed up. They're, you know, this and that and the other thing. And then they get in the car with us. And we spend like 1 10-hour shift with them. And go, what are you talking about?
They seem fine.
Like, this is normal new guy stuff. Like, they're not going to act like a 10-year vet, because guess what? They're not a 10-year vet.
Hello.
Right. So, yeah. So I, I hit up my boss. She's fine. She's not even going to need an extension unless she does something really stupid in the next 2 weeks. So on Thursday, my boss hits me up. He goes, "Hey, I need to talk to you real quick." I'm like, whatever it is, I didn't do it. I wasn't there and I don't know anything about it. All right. He goes, no. It's about the recruit. I go, okay, fine. I go, what's up? I go, whatever it is, she didn't do it. She wasn't there. She doesn't know anything about it. He goes, no. So apparently throughout the course of training, she's missed 3 days.
Okay.
2 days sick, 1 day with a, she like tweaked her back over the weekend.
All right. And is this over like a three month period?
Yeah. Over 3 months at this point. So okay. Like a day a month. I'm like, yeah, we knew about that. He goes, well, the FTO office and their infinite wisdom has decided to extend her 1 week to make up the time. To make sure that she has her required hours. I'm like, right,
but
wait, you get so sick for time. Absences, but not performance.
Right.
He goes, yeah. So this, so we're going to have to tell her. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to do it at the end of the day because I'm not going to sabotage this whole day.
Right. She's going to be
over some stupid admin shit.
Right.
Yeah. Like this has nothing to do with performance. This is strictly an administrative issue.
Right.
So me being me, I immediately jump on to, hey, I just wonder, right? How many hours, because they were talking about hours, is our FTO program? And I'm not including, I didn't include the limbo weeks, and I didn't include plain clothes. And I even took out 2 days of training that they do in the middle of it that takes them off the street. When that's all said and done, they work 530 hours street time. Now, I figured, okay, cool. It's because it's our agency and we like to be extra because we invented this model of FTO.
Right.
Like, cool. I get it. Maybe that there's a, it's codified somewhere, the minimum hours must work in an FTO program. So I go to the California Post website, police officers, standards and training. There is a hours minimum you must work. You want to guess what that hours minimum is?
400.
400 hours. So even with 2 days or 3 days missed, she exceeds the minimum hours worked by over 100.
Right. What's the problem?
And there's no performance issue that we're seeing.
Right.
So I love my boss because he and I think very similarly. So he goes, hey, he calls me up like middle of the day. He goes, hey, after you guys finish this call, come over to where I'm at and I'll break the news to her. I'm like, okay, that's, fair. I appreciate it because I'm not looking forward to this because I'm pissed.
Right.
So we go over there and he goes, so and he explains it to her. Hey, you missed 3 days, so they're going to make you work four. You missed 30 hours, you got to make up 40. He goes, not for nothing. We have every other week, we have something called a whole day where both sides of the week are together. You go work in a different part of the city just to kind of get a break. You work with a different team. I personally don't like it because I like my people and I want to stay with my people. He goes, so you're already extended for a week because you missed 3 days. The way I look at it, they now owe you 10 hours. He goes, so you can take that information and do what you want with it. And I'm standing there, I go, I know what I would do with it. He goes, I know exactly what you would do with it. You would do exactly what I would do with it. He goes, he looks at her, he goes, I'm sure you have a sick family member that could use your help. And she goes, well, my mom does have an eye doctor appointment tomorrow. I go, cool. Put us both out sick.
Nice.
So we took Friday off as a fuck you to the FTO office.
Good.
So now she'll do one more week, and then she'll go to plain clothes, and then she'll be on her own.
Yeah, you guys are way over the hour.
Man, that pissed me off. Yeah. They work, if you total it all up, minus the first 2 weeks, last 2 weeks, it's 560 hours of street time, which for a lot of them, it's not enough. Like, they're still getting extended. But at the same time, like, if you have somebody who's not having performance issues.
Right.
Like, you're going to go induce one because of this stupid petty shit.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Like, I got released from FTO a day early. So I came in for my last day of training, and Sergeant hit me up. He goes, "Hey, you guys are going to be solo today. You guys are officially on your own. Congratulations." He did it at briefing in front of the whole, the whole shift that's there. And, you get like a nice little round of applause, which is super cool. But like, there's no incentive for them to succeed because you're not going to get released early.
Right.
Hell, if you get sick and are sent home, your FTO tells you to go home because you're sick. Now you're getting extended because right. You missed too many days.
Yeah, that's not right. I also was released early. It was a week early because my FTO all of a sudden needed time off. So I came into work and they're like, "Yeah, Brian's gone for a week. Congratulations. You're done with training." I'm like,
"Hooray."
What?
It's unnecessary. And it creates undue stress for the recruit. It creates more work for the FTO because now I have to be a freaking therapist to make sure that their head's right to keep them from screwing up. She is far more likely to screw up this week than at any other week in the program.
Sure. Yeah.
Because now she's worried about getting extended more.
Right. But I'm sure you had that discussion with her. It is what it is. Just do your job and it'll be all right. I mean, shit happens.
Well, I told her, I go, "Look, I told her I'm going to basically run it as a two-man car. I go, we're going to do cop work. Like, I'm going to show you how to do things. I'm going to show you how the back and forth goes, because now we have a pilot program in our city where if she goes to this division, she's going to be mandated to ride with somebody."
Oh.
And there is a little bit of a learning curve on how to operate as a two-man car.
Right.
So.
Did you guys have any
get out and chase the bad guy?
All right. The new person. That's the rule.
Well, no, it's whoever's the passenger.
Yeah, because the new person ain't going to be driving, at least in my car. So new person gets out and runs. shit. So did you have any cool calls or anything like that you can discuss that's not in the litigation?
Yeah, everything is like, well, we did find. So you remember the guy that ran away on the bike?
Yeah.
Or that I tried to chase on the bike?
Yeah.
So he was picked up over the weekend by
the
junior side of the week that works the weekends.
Okay.
Well, he stayed in jail for, this is kind of messed up. I think it's hilarious, but it's kind of messed up. He stayed in jail for 5 days. He was released on June 5th. Later that day, a warrant was issued for his arrest on another case.
Come on.
So my boss brought that to my attention.
Did you go find him?
I go, okay. I go, stand by. He's going to be in custody real soon. Because I don't like when people run away from me.
You take it personally.
I don't like when people run and get away.
Right.
No, it's not personally. It's a point of pride.
Well, yeah.
I'm a professional.
Right.
So it's end of the day. We're heading back. My buddies are heading back. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call. I go, "What's up?" "I found him." "What do you mean you found him?" "He's walking directly towards you guys."
"Come on."
He goes, "It's up to you guys if you want to do anything." So I get off the phone. I look at the recruiter. I go, "Look, you have an option here. Remember, problem-solving decision-making is a graded category. We can A, head back to the PD. It's end of day. No harm, no foul. We'll come back. We'll get him tomorrow. Or we can just go get him right fucking now." She paused for a second because you could tell she was like, "I kind of want to just go home."
Yeah, 10 hours, long day.
Like, she's like, "Fuck it, let's get him."
Oh, good for her.
I go, we're going after him. Stand by.
Nice.
Hey, so I'm on the phone with him. "Hey, I need you guys," because my buddy was riding. My buddies were doubled up for the day. I go, "Hey, I need one of you over here and one of you over here in case he tries to split." And like, "Oh, he just walked into the Jack in the Box." I'm like, "Oh, that's perfect." I go, "Here's what you're going to do." Sure. Booking photo. I go, "He has a warrant for his arrest. This is his first name. When you walk in there, you find the guy that matches the description and you use the first name. We'll call him John." You just go, "Hey, John." And he turns around. Boom. That's your guy. So we walk in there And he's got this guitar, and this is kind of his thing. Is he goes to these markets, he plays his guitar, and if people don't tip him, he gets real bitchy. To the point where when property managers ask him to leave, he takes bear spray and freaking sprays them.
Oh, my God.
So I go, okay. I go, just understand he may have reloaded his bear spray. So you need to move with the quickness. Don't give him a chance, because if he sprays me, I'm shooting him.
Yeah.
That stuff hurts. So we go in there, and he's got his little cup of water. She goes, hey, John. And he, boom, acknowledges. She's like, hey, put your hands behind your back. And the whole time I'm sitting there going, oh, God, he's going to throw the water on her. He's going to throw the water on her. And that's going to be a green light. That is an assault on a police officer. So she hooks him. She ends up getting him hooked up. She was starting to walk him outside before she handcuffed him.
Oh.
And I was like, no. Yeah, no, right. Handcuff him. Because the second we get out that door, he's going to try and boogie.
Yeah. So you can't taser someone handcuffed who's running away. That doesn't go well.
Well, you're not supposed to.
Right.
Through Christ, all things are possible. Okay. So jot that down.
Yeah.
So we take him back to jail. He's like, I already went to jail for this. I go, no, dude, it's a warrant on a different case. He's like, I already went to jail on this. I'm like, okay, you're too stupid to understand.
You're very popular.
You're just mad because I got away from you. I go, thank you for admitting that. Because that's going to screw you on your other case.
That's awesome.
And to be fair, you were on a bike, you bitch.
Yeah. I was on foot.
I was running.
Yeah. Good.
And then I was moving my Chevrolet as fast as I could.
And how long did that then extend your day?
Oh, so down at jail, they were understaffed. So what is typically like maybe an hour process took 2.5.
Okay. But you guys hand them off for processing, so you don't physically yourself have to process them, right? You hand them off, and then you do
your pick. We basically walk them through to – they have to go through a medical clearance.
Right.
And then they get photographed, fingerprinted, and body scanned to make sure they don't have any contraband.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty high tech now. Yeah. They have found meth pipes in buttholes.
Sure, of course. That's where I keep mine. It's hard to sit, though.
So. Yeah, I mean
– yeah.
Yeah, well, you got to relax. That's the hard part.
Yeah, you can't be clinched.
You clinch, it's all over.
Yeah.
So once they're done with the body scan, then they're the county's problem, and then we leave.
Yeah. So can you do paperwork and stuff there while you're waiting for half that shit to be done? Can you start your report and all that other
stuff? Well, that's basically what happened. She had two reports. I said, go back to the car and write the longer report.
Right.
So she wrote that and then came back in, and she's been doing fine. So I go, okay, I've been standing here for like 2 hours. I'm going to go sit in the car for a little bit and play on my phone.
You stand. Yeah. Okay, cool.
You stand by with your prisoner, because he doesn't like me. And I feel like if I remove myself from the situation, he'll probably calm down.
Yeah, that works actually.
And he did.
Yeah. That's the way that goes. So I was, so looking
that at, was, that was fun. I was really happy about that.
You had no machete attacks near you. I don't know if you saw
that. No, no machetes.
I actually wrote in my notes for the show while things pop into my head. What WTF is going on? Machete attack in California. I saw that. And then Chicago had a guy with homemade Molotov cocktails throwing them on people at a pro-Palestinian protest, the three Ps.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, guy was fucking lighting Molotov cocktails and throwing them on people.
Well, you know, everyone needs a hobby.
Here illegally, of course, overstayed his visa from Egypt, I think it was.
What?
I know, right? Aren't these people just peaceful?
That sounds like it's illegal.
No, it's not allowed. No. Did you have any problems with the No Kings protest yesterday? Or was that yesterday or Saturday?
It was Saturday.
Saturday.
It was Saturday. You're going to set me off on my whole, like, people don't pay attention in their history classes.
Well, no, we did. We covered that privately.
I mean, it worked. It worked. America still does not have a king. So bravo. Good job.
Can I read it?
Yeah, I was really worried about that for a second.
Right.
But I stopped taking them seriously when I started seeing the like F ICE, F right, that, yeah. Viva Mexico. Like, I don't understand that. I understand you're, you know, protesting and exercising your First Amendment right, and I'm all for it, because I feel like if you don't exercise rights, they are really easy to take away.
Yeah, right.
So, but I'm all for it, and I appreciate the people in Hollister that did it, because they stayed, like, they basically went to the busiest intersection in town, and they just stayed on the four corners, and okay. people were honking, and that's fine. Like, that's a, like, it's annoying,
right?
I hate car horns, but like, okay, like, I, you're not hurting anybody. It's a minor inconvenience because traffic was backed up, and I had to go through that intersection to take Annie's car to get the oil changed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, minor inconvenience, annoyance, sure. But, you know, they were cool. They were like, they were just standing there holding their signs. Didn't appreciate the F words because, you know, small kids read. And as someone with small kids, I don't like having to explain what the word fuck is. So I try real hard to not use it in front of them.
Right.
Sometimes I fail. But yeah, like, for the most part, I don't really care. Now, what's going on in LA is fucking stupid, and yeah, I could go off on hours on how I could actually articulate that the behavior in LA currently, or like during the worst of the rioting, could have caused an international issue between the United States and Mexico, where it could have been perceived that Mexico was declaring war on America, and if they weren't being sponsored by the Mexican government, then that would be an act of terror, which would probably be not great for those people. But, you know, whatever, it's fine.
Watching that shit and then seeing the governor, your fine governor, and then the mayor of LA saying, there's no problem here. People are quiet and peaceful. And I just saw, you know, a video of people throwing bricks off a bridge at police officers and smashing police cars. And I'm like,
and actually hit an officer in the head with one.
Yeah.
And thank God he was wearing a helmet.
Right.
I do kind of feel like I recognize a lot of the tactics from 2020.
Right.
And I think LA forgot. Like, guys, we all paid a lot of money.
Right.
You guys are going to.
We're not that far behind. Gonna be the
big checks handed out.
Right. Yeah. So.
But, like, no, but it worked. I mean, it's.
Kim sent me a.
The problem in LA wasn't necessarily the response to the protests, it was the no response ordered by.
Right.
The mayor and the governor.
Right.
To which I also say that the leadership of LAPD has no spine, because you have a duty to refuse a lawful order. Your job is to protect people.
Right. So Kim
and property.
Right. Kim brought that up yesterday, and she's like,
do your job.
Why are they even out there on the streets when let these people beat up each other? And I said, they have a duty and responsibility to protect the civilians and property. I mean, they can't just not go. But
actually, you don't have a duty to act. I mean, they could just go full on purge, like cordon off an area of downtown LA and go, sucks.
You're on your own. Right.
Let us know when you're done.
Right. But don't call us.
You know.
So.
Well, they can call. Okay. Yeah. No, where you at? Uh-huh. Yeah. Let me put you on hold. It's going to sound like I'm hanging up, but that's only because I am.
Right. Click. Kim sent me a screenshot of, I don't know if Trump, if it was a tweet or. But it says in full caps, a huge thank you. And then to all the No Kings protesters yesterday, I was very concerned a king was trying to take my place. But thanks to your tireless efforts, I am still your president. Great job, all.
I'm pretty sure that's AI generated, but it is funny. I saw that this morning, too.
It's hilarious. So I was actually talking to my landscaper called from Alabama on Saturday. And he's like, hey, man, did you buy another property down here? I'm like, no. I go, why? He's like, oh, I was sent to this house to do this yard that hasn't been mowed in like a year. There's grass growing in the pool that's empty. There's 7-foot weeds. And the realtor's office told me to send you the bill. I go, whoa, wait, what? No, don't send Mike the bill. That ain't my house. He's like, I was wondering. I'm like, he's like, I know you're trying to sell the other house. And he does that grass for me. He's like, but they said send it to you. And I'm like, no, man, I didn't buy another house. So we started joking about that. And then he said, yeah, man, it's no King's Day. Now, in Florence is the northwest corner of Alabama, and it's a pretty red area, politically wise. And so he goes, even downtown Florence, there's this protesting going on. I'm like, they found enough Democrats to actually put on the street in Florence a protest, no kings? What? Is it like five people?
Well, they're bussing them in.
Yeah, so yeah, they're doing something from somewhere. Someone's paying these people to come out. And then I heard that a confidential email or whatever the message was confiscated or discovered that said it was some person who's paying these people to dress in MAGA stuff and go cause trouble, of course. So,
well, yeah, that's not a new thing. No. That goes all the way back to 2020.
Yeah, that's George Soros and his best.
There were Antifa folks being paid to show up in like pro-police stuff and be agitators on that side,
right,
just to get a response. But I mean, we've discovered, I mean, these groups are actively putting out information of like, hey, dress like this,
right?
Wear this. This is how you like bring a hammer and break up these cement pylons. That's how you get the big chunks. There's pallets of bricks being dropped off just in the middle of the street. Like that's coordinated,
right,
effort.
Yeah.
And so it'll never happen. They'll never uncover the person behind it because that person's going to be too plugged in and too protected,
right,
for them to ever see any real justice. But what I watched on the news were multiple counts of attempted murder on a police officer.
Exactly. So how about,
won't get charged. I do feel bad about the one journalist that took the foam baton round to the dome.
Oh, I didn't.
Although it's a hilarious picture. He's got like this huge raspberry, like right here, exactly 39 millimeters wide. And in the video that he had, because he was, you know, documenting everything, but he was up on the overpass where they were throwing stuff down.
Okay.
Well, you can see the 40 round. You can see its flight path.
Okay, right to his head.
And then all of a sudden, boom. And then, oh god! And then the Australian reporter that gets one in the ankle or the calf or the lower leg because she didn't move when the skirmish line said fucking move.
Right. Yeah. Too bad. So you guys in your city didn't have much of an issue.
No.
Okay. Good.
And I have a theory as to why.
Okay.
If you're new to the show, I do police work in a major American city. It's in the top 10, I think, population-wise or size. I don't know. It's a top 10 city. And in 2020, we were pretty much the only ones that weren't on CNN because the city was on fire.
Right.
Now, were there some lawsuits filed? Yes. Did the city pay out a shit ton of money? Also, yes. But you know what didn't happen this last week? No large scale protests that got out of hand.
Good.
There were protests in front of City Hall, and that's fine. They all gathered in the little like open
courtyard. Uh-oh. Hey, we're at that point in the show where Brandon's computer decides it's had enough, and it freezes Brandon's face and words.
Signs, and they had their seats full, and they...
You came back for a minute. Fine. And you're gone again. There. Oh, there. I see you now. Yeah,
we have a stable internet connection. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. So they had their signs in the courtyard. They were peaceful. They were fine. Right?
Yeah, they were peaceful. Okay. They were fine. And yeah.
All right.
And guess what? We didn't have any issues.
Cool.
And then for the No King's Day, I haven't been to work since.
Right, you weren't working then. Yeah.
But from what I saw, because like one of the local
lost Brandon again. Bear with us. I'll just edit all this out. I lost you. You're gone.
Literally the only one home. Only person using the internet. It is as stable as it gets.
That's fine. I think your computer is tired.
You don't understand this.
Your computer is tired. It's like,
Well, I do have an older computer, and it has a lot of stuff on it. But okay, so one of the local news stations decided to throw their helicopter up over where that protest was because, in our city, when it got a little out of hand, it did make for great TV. I'm not going to lie. Like, because I was watching it before I went into work, and that's what made me go into work 5 hours early.
Oh, boy. Nice.
But they all stayed in the park that they were gathered, where the protest was supposed to be, and they were just like, yeah, no kings. Like, everyone was like, yeah, we kind of agree. Kings are bad.
Well, they also wearing...
It's not what this country is about. Like, we see eye to eye on this issue.
Right.
Like,
we don't have a king. We don't want a king. Right.
I don't understand it. I did, however... Yeah, no, we kind of fought a war about that.
Right.
Yeah, a long time ago. If you were paying attention in your American history class, like, you wouldn't know about it.
History.
It's weird.
Learn it.
It's like exactly like 249 years ago. This kind of like, we were like, we don't like that.
Yeah. Hey, so speaking of 249 there
was
that. Years.
I also did really like, there was a fine. I was just going to say, like, I did see one person that was interviewed was like, you're on stolen land. You stole it from Mexico. Like, actually, what happened was we fought a war. And out of the kindness of our hearts, we were like, hey, Mexico, we're going to pay you some money for this land. You good with that? And they were like, yeah, we're good with that. And then we had the whole West Coast. It was weird. It's weird. It's almost like an actual transaction took place. And if only there were books that
documented
one could
read. These. Yeah, right. Yeah.
To obtain this information so you don't sound like a fucking idiot on the television. Like, the internet exists, so that guy is going to look like a dumbass forever.
You got to wonder why maybe the news producer's like, hey, this will be a good running meme for years. Get this guy on camera.
It's stolen land. You stole it from Mexico. No, we kicked your ass for it, and then we gave you money for it. So, like, pump your brakes, dude.
Slow your roll.
Now, if the Native Americans want to say, like, we stole some land, like, that, okay, that's a legitimate beef. Like, we did some pretty fucked up shit.
They might have a point. If anyone's going to get reparations...
They got a valid point.
They got a valid point. All right. Hey, I'm looking at we have a question of the week, which we'll get to. It is from.
Oh, good. Let's.
Okay. And it's a baseball question, Brandon.
Oh, so, all right. Hold on. All right. Here we go.
Make sure your internet your computer doesn't break up for this one.
I don't touch it during this whole process.
I know.
Once I log in, push myself away from it.
Yeah. All right, so this is from Mark.
Maybe I should touch it. Let me just reach out.
No, don't touch it. Okay. I'm going to wait till I see you moving. Okay, I can see you moving. So this is from Mark Lowendorf. He's messaged us the last few weeks. So, hey, gents, I'm admittedly not much of a baseball fan, but am wondering what your opinion is on the
possibility. Not American.
What your opinion is on the possibility that Pete Rose may be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Being old school, I believe the integrity of the game is more important than any individual accolades. I feel that betting on the sport was bad enough, but betting on his own team as player and manager was over the edge. As a side note, my nephew's oldest son has a full scholarship at IMG Academy down in Florida. His natural baseball talent, and usually rated among the top of the nation, is that school. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with the school. He's only a high school sophomore, but has already established a foundation to help low-income kids improve their ball skills. The Sushi Wilson Dream Big Foundation. So I always enjoy your podcast and look forward to each new episode. Have a safe tour, Brandon. And signed off, #FuckCopa. So Copa is a Chicago thing. That's the Chicago Office of Police Accountability, and it's a civilian board that reviews.
Oh, it's like our independent police auditor.
Yeah, they review everything that happens in Chicago, all the officer involved incidents. So I love that sign off mark. Put that on a card. You could put that on a T-shirt and sell it to CPD. The officers would wear that shit every day.
Oh, you'd make a killing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Our we call him the IPA, Independent Police Auditor. He's actually like a decent dude.
Okay.
I don't like the fact that if we go into IA, they can sit in there and they can ask questions.
Yeah, that's not right.
But I'm not a big fan of it, but they can't – they have no real power as far as like terminating you. They make recommendations to IA, and then IA makes their own determination on what they want to do. But so, I don't really concern myself with them all that much because I generally do the right thing and I'm doing what I do for the right reasons. So I don't really like whatever you want to watch. You want to watch a live stream of my body cam? That's fine. When I make the off color joke, I realize it. And I look down, and I go, I talk directly to the camera. I go, I'm obviously joking, IA.
Right.
And IPA. It's not exactly how I feel. It's how I cope with shit. Right. So, and guess what? I've never gotten in trouble for it. So,
Pete Rose. Yeah. I'll let you go first and then I'll go after you.
Okay. So single greatest hitter to ever play baseball. No evidence of him betting on baseball as a player, correct?
Correct. That's my
argument. So the main thing that he would want to be inducted for would be his accomplishments on the field as a player.
Player only.
Okay. Player only. By all accounts, was a pretty shitty manager. I don't think I was alive
when
he managed the Reds.
See, I watched him. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, based on his accomplishments as a player, he should 100% be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, if you want to argue that there should be some sort of asterisk saying like, hey, it was later determined that he had gambled on baseball as a manager, right? This kind of goes back to the whole thing with my recruit being extended, not because of performance, but because of some administrative shit. They're keeping Pete Rose out, which, by the way, it was a lifetime ban, correct?
Right, which was just lifted.
Well, a lifetime ban would expire the second his lifetime ends.
Yeah, right.
So you've punished the man enough. And here's my thing with the Hall of Fame. The Major League Baseball Hall of Fame is not a Hall of Fame. It's a hall of people that the Baseball Writers Association of America likes.
Right.
You don't have some of the best players to ever play the game in there. You don't have Shoeless Joe Jackson. You don't have Barry Bonds. You don't have Roger Clemens. You don't have Curt Schilling. There is no denying that these guys are Hall of Famers. Now, if you want to say, hey, there's strong suspicion that these guys used performance-enhancing drugs because Bonds, you don't have the failed drug test. What you do have is a guy who stood to profit off of selling out or saying that Bonds took steroids, saying he took steroids. Now, did Bonds most likely take steroids? Yes. How many pitchers in the 90s and early 2000s took steroids?
Yeah, a lot. 80% of them.
So he leveled the playing field.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Put a little note on there. Hey, it's strongly suspected that this player used performance-enhancing drugs. However, there was no failed drug test at the time because Major League Baseball didn't test for it because Bud Selig is a cunt.
Well, also because we used to allow players to use speed before games, take speed in the 60s and 70s before a game, which was a performance-enhancing drug.
How come we don't talk about that?
Right.
There were dudes taking meth.
Greenies.
And methamphetamine.
Yeah.
Prior to games, but we're cool with that. That's fine.
Right. So I agree that he should
Mickey
be in
Mantle
the Hall of
fucked
Fame.
Everything that moved. Where's the morality clause there?
When he came to my house, the goldfish stopped swimming. So, I met Pete Rose. I think I told you, at a signing in a mall in Vegas. I think it was at Caesars, and I just happened to be wearing my Sox hat, and his kid was in the White Sox organization, Pete Rose Jr. So I got my picture taken with Pete Rose, got his autograph on him holding up his helmet when he got his 4,000th career hit. I love Pete Rose as a player. He didn't bet on baseball when he was a player. Nothing that they proved. I would love Pete Rose to be in the Hall of Fame as a player. The fact that he bet on games as a manager, that's completely different. He was no longer playing the game, and he couldn't. It shouldn't tarnish his playing career. Yeah, it should tarnish his managing career, but that shouldn't keep him out, in my opinion. So I appreciate the question, Mark. That's where I stand.
Good question.
Yeah, that's a good question. Not all your questions that you send to handcuffsandsawdustpodcast@gmail.com have to be law enforcement related. If you listen to the show and you know what we like to do and like to speak and like to watch, send a question in about that. Right?
Sure. Yeah. You can even ask us what our favorite color is.
Mine's navy blue. All right.
That's oddly specific.
It's not because I wore navy blue for 25 years as a police officer.
Well, no, it's my favorite color is just blue.
Okay.
Not Dodger blue, but just blue.
All right.
Which I think is funny because I'm such a huge Giants fan, but like my favorite color is blue.
The most hated rival of the Giants. Yeah. Which I shut that game off. I told you last night when we were texting, I was going to watch Shohei and Freeman bat and then shut the game off. And I did. And they scored. And then I shut the game off. So I have no idea how it ended. Was it close?
Which one was that? The Sunday night game?
No, yeah, Sunday night.
Oh, the Sunday night game. Look.
What was the score?
It was 5-3. 5-3.
Okay.
5-3 or 5-4. I can't remember.
All right.
It was close. It was way closer than it should have been because part of the Rafael Devers move.
Right.
They traded away their starting pitcher for last night.
Right. So
it was instantly a bullpen game.
Jelly Roll got to pitch, right?
Yeah. And he did phenomenal for, finding out 20 minutes before the game. Hey, dude, you're going to go start. Go get loose.
Right. Yeah. Or what they say now is an opener. How many innings? Well,
he came up through the minor. He went into the fourth, 3 2/3.
Okay, that's good.
So I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But no, I was telling you yesterday. We actually my first Father's Day when we lived up in San Jose. We used to live up there where the Giants Low A team is, and we went to a Giants game and. In that game, Sean Jelly was the starting pitcher. Joey Bart was the starting catcher. And Elliot Ramos was the starting center fielder. And they all ended up high-fiving my oldest two kids.
That's awesome.
And then Joey Bart tossed my son a ball. So as far as I'm concerned, Joey Bart can do no wrong.
Yeah.
And I thought it was super cool that we got to see these guys when they were just barely starting.
Right.
And now they're big leaguers.
Yeah, very cool. Good, that's a cool thing for your kids to see too, right? So
yeah, well my kids don't remember it because I even nudge Caleb like, hey dude, remember
him?
every time that Jelly pitches, I always go like, hey dude, remember he was the starting pitcher in that game? He's like, really? I'm like, you're either fucking with me, or I don't even think you. Oh, I don't know how long ago was that.
Second, remember?
Probably about 5 years. He would have been about seven.
Okay,
about seven.
All right,
6-7, somewhere around there. Which I don't understand that now with kids, like being around these 12-year-olds. I hear some of the new fucking slang.
Yeah.
So there's one where they just go 6-7. Like, I don't fucking get it, but you guys are annoying the shit out of me with it. Yeah, but it's the way you say it. 6-7. Like, I don't get it.
Okay.
And then I haven't seen the Minecraft movie, but there's something about Chicken Jockey.
Yeah, I haven't seen it
yet. Well, I thought it was really funny because the boys on the ball team, they came up with a pickoff play, and the sign for it was Chicken Jockey. So you have these 12-year-olds that they're just out there on the field, and all of a sudden you hear the shortstop yell out, "Hey, Chicken Jockey, Chicken Jockey!" I was like, "What the fuck?" Like I'm sitting there, what the hell is going on? And then all of a sudden there's a backdoor play at first and the kid gets picked off. I'm like, oh shit.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's awesome.
And then we're all talking afterwards. It's like, yeah, the kids put that on themselves. They came up with the play and put it on themselves.
I guess in the theaters, they were destroying theaters when the Chicken Jockey showed up.
Whatever. Yeah. And that's Caleb was getting pissed. Cause he's like, I want to go see Minecraft. I'm like, we're not going to see that in theaters.
Right.
He's like, why? Because I don't want to have to pull a gun.
Right. It's getting ridiculous.
Like, it's not going to happen. We'll watch it when it comes out on Prime, which I think it's actually out now.
Yeah, it is. You can watch it now on TV. So,
yeah, maybe we'll do that this afternoon.
Nice. I'll be editing. Let's swing over to the other half of the show, shall we? Oh, wait. Let's do the...
okay, sure.
Hold on. Let's do the Officer Down Memorial, because there are five or six people on here and one dog. I don't know if you got a chance to check. So one of these incidents happened here in Chicago, which has disgusted me. So I'll start that.
Oh, not the legal source book.
You start looking for the dog. I'll start this.
All right, I got the dog.
Okay. So first up, from the Morrow County Sheriff's Office in Ohio, Deputy Sheriff Daniel Weston Shearer, end of watch was May 26, 2025. His cause of death was gunfire. Deputy Sheriff Weston Shearer was shot and killed while responding to a report of a shooting and domestic dispute just outside of Columbus at approximately 7:40 p.m. When Deputy Shearer arrived at the residence, he found the subject seated on the porch. As he approached the subject and attempted to de-escalate the situation, the man threatened Deputy Shearer with a gun if he came any further. Deputy Shearer stayed behind and continued to speak with the subject until he moved to the steps and fired at Deputy Shearer, who was struck while returning gunfire. Deputy Shearer was taken to a local hospital where he succumbed to his wounds that night. The suspect was also wounded and was transported to a local hospital in serious condition. A warrant for aggravated murder has been filed. Deputy Shearer had served with the Morrow County Sheriff's Office for 4 years. He is survived by his parents, sister, and fiance. He was 31 years old. From the Baldwin Park Police Department in California, Police Officer Samuel Riveros, end of watch was Saturday, May 31st, 2025. Also from gunfire, Police Officer Samuel Riveros was shot and killed while responding to reports of gunfire at the 4200 block of Philhurst Avenue in Baldwin Park. At 7:12 p.m., when two officers arrived at the scene, they found one man unresponsive with a gunshot wound before they were met with gunfire. During the shootout, one of the officers was injured after bullets hit his patrol vehicle. Officer Riveros also responded to the shooting call to assist the officers. He ran into the hail of bullets, preventing the shooter from targeting the officers and the other community members in the neighborhood. Officer Riveros was transported to the Los Angeles County USC Medical Center, where he was pronounced deceased. Investigators recovered a rifle and 60 spent shell casings at the scene. The man found unresponsive was shot and killed over a parking dispute. The suspect was struck with non-life-threatening wounds. He was charged with 2 counts of murder. With special circumstances, 2 counts of attempted murder and a charge of possessing an assault weapon. Officer Riveros had served with the Baldwin Park Police Department for 9 years. He is survived by his wife and children and was 35 years old. From the Bloomfield Police Department in New Mexico, Police Officer Timothy Ontiveros, whose end of watch was Sunday, June 1st, 2025, from gunfire. Police Officer Timothy Ontiveros succumbed to gunshot wounds he received during a traffic stop on Jordan Street at 10:55 p.m. on May 26th, 2025. When Officer Ontiveros and another police officer pulled over a driver, the man refused to roll down his window or give his identity. After negotiating with the subject for over 8 minutes, the officer attempted to arrest the man. The subject pulled out a gun and fired at officers, striking Officer Ontiveros and barely missing the other officer, who returned fire, killing the suspect. Officer Ontiveros was transported to San Juan Regional Medical Center in Farmington with gunshot wounds to his neck and shoulder. Then he was flown to the University of New Mexico Hospital, where he passed away on June 1st. As a final act of his service, his organs were donated. Officer Ontiveros had served with the Bloomfield Police Department for 6 months and previously served with the Farmington Police Department for almost a year. He was also a volunteer firefighter with the Aztec Fire Department. He is survived by his daughters. He is 33 years old. From the Angleton Police Department in Texas, Sergeant J.D. White, end of watch Sunday, June 1st, 2025. Sergeant J.D. White was struck and killed while escorting a funeral procession. He was flown to a Memorial Hermann Hospital in Houston, where he succumbed to his injuries. He had served with the Angleton Police Department for 19 years. They do not list his age. This is the one that happened here in Chicago. Police Officer Crystal Rivera, the Chicago Police Department. End of watch was Thursday, June 5th, 2025. Police Officer Crystal Rivera was shot and killed during a confrontation with an armed subject while on routine patrol. I hate that they had the word routine. At 9:50 p.m., officers attempted to stop a man they suspected of having a weapon in the Gresham neighborhood, which is a shithole. The subject fled the officers, pursued. He ran into an apartment building where another armed subject confronted them. During the chaotic encounter, an officer discharged their weapon, fatally striking Officer Rivera. Friendly fire. They placed Officer Rivera into a patrol vehicle, but while en route to the hospital, the car experienced a mechanical malfunction and caught fire. They got her into another vehicle, and she succumbed to her wounds at the hospital. The two suspects fled the scene but were apprehended shortly thereafter. One of the men, a convicted felon, wanted for 6 outstanding warrants, was charged with armed violence, illegal possession of a firearm, possession of a controlled substance, and possession of a fraudulent identification card. Officer Rivera had served with the Chicago Police Department for 4 years. She is survived by her daughter. She was 36 years old. And from the Apache Junction Police Department in Arizona, Police Officer Gabriel Fascio, whose end of watch was Sunday, June 8th, 2025, Police Officer Gabriel Fascio died 6 days after being shot in the face by a driver who had been pulled over for brandishing a gun in a road rage incident in the area near Ironwood Drive and Elliott Road. On the morning of Monday, June 2nd, Officer Fascio and additional officers responded to a road rage incident involving a driver who had allegedly threatened others with a gun. After being pulled over, the driver was initially cooperative. However, when asked to step out of the vehicle, he became aggressive, retrieved a handgun from the glove compartment, and exited the vehicle. Officers ordered him to stop and attempted to subdue him with non-lethal weapons. But the subject fired at the officer, striking Officer Fascio in the face. Officers returned fire, wounding the subject. Officer Fascio was rushed to the hospital where he remained in critical condition for 6 days before succumbing to his wounds, just after 1 p.m. on June 8th. The subject was injured and taken to the hospital. He'll be charged with homicide. Officer Fascio had served with the Apache Junction Police Department for nearly 4 years and had previously served as an officer in Phoenix and other agencies in the area. He is survived by his wife, daughter, son, parents, and a grandchild. He was 46 years old. That concludes the human portion of Officers Down.
And for canines, we have Canine Rebel from the Albuquerque Police Department. Rebel was shot and killed during an apprehension, unfortunately caught in a crossfire. Rebel is also credited. This is kind of a badass dog. Credited with over 900 canine deployments. And his end of watch was May 29th. Rebel was 8 years old.
900 deployments. That is amazing.
That's a good boy.
That is a good boy. So the morning after the Chicago officer Rivera was shot and killed, I woke up to a text from my best friend Bill with the news headline. And then his text to me was, "Really? You want to go back to this line of work?" And I'm like, well, at the time, we didn't know that she was killed by one of her own. And then I had read that she was shot in the back, which is confusing to me, because if she was wearing her vest, that's not an issue unless the person who shot her used a rifle. So it was such a chaotic scene. I'm still waiting to read more about it, and haven't reached out to any of my buddies in CPD to find out more. But just all of these losses suck. But yeah. It doesn't dissuade me from wanting to go back into the field of work, because it's something that only a few people can do, right? But we'll see. All right. Now we can transition to lighter fare, as they say.
Sure. That sounds great.
All right. We just have to do that one more time. There we go. Okay. So, what you got going on there, Brandon? Have you made anything? Are you planning anything?
So, with softball season starting, which is kind of, I kind of like the way the softball stuff does it, because the girls come up with their own name.
Wait, like team name or nicknames?
Yeah. Well, like the team name.
Okay.
Because, like, they're given a color. So, like, my daughter's team, they are neon yellow.
Okay.
And they decided that their name is the Showstoppers.
All right.
Which I think is kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. Where'd they get it?
I don't know. I think their coach suggested it to them. But one of the things I've been doing is I've been using AI, like ChatGPT, to come up with, like, images. We do it at work to kind of screw with each other. Of like, my buddy needed a cell phone charger, so I had ChatGPT create an illustration of a hero cop coming to the aid of a fellow officer who desperately needed a phone charger.
That's hilarious.
Or we were talking about, like, like, one of the recruits is short and his FTO is also short, and we called him like mini cops, tiny but mighty. So I had ChatGPT come up with an illustration of tiny cops being deployed,
okay,
with the theme of that they are tiny but mighty. So I came up with, I had it produce a logo for the Showstoppers.
Showstoppers.
Using their team colors.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, that's cool. And like, well, whenever teams win a championship, usually there's some sort of like, hey, championship commemorative logo that goes with it. So I had it create a championship logo for my son's little league team. And I'm going to try engraving that on a baseball.
Oh, wait. Oh, laser engraving.
I will send it. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't yet downloaded ChatGPT. Gemini on my Samsung Galaxy phone, which is an AI thing. So I don't know if it could actually perform stuff like that for me. I haven't asked it to. I just ask it questions that I want answers to. I haven't asked it to create anything yet.
I think it can.
I did see on the news that they showed a commercial that some company had a guy make just using AI. And it had all kinds of people in it, and they were on a speedboat and playing sports, and none of it was real. And it cost them $2,000 only. Let's see. You just sent this to me. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
This is your son's.
Like, obviously there's some editing that has to be done with, like, centering.
Yeah.
The arch or the little league's name. But
so this was also generated by AI?
Those were both generated by AI.
Oh, hold on.
In the span of about 5 minutes.
I've got
not even 5 minutes.
The Showstoppers one just came across. That's awesome, dude. Okay. Yeah, I guess. Damn, AI is scary, dude.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. What's the name of it in the Terminator movie?
Skynet. Skynet's already been activated. We're screwed.
Skynet's activated? Shit.
Skynet's already been activated. We're screwed.
Okay.
It's gonna.
Speaking of Terminator,
just hope it doesn't become sentient until
I'm
long dead.
Until our grandkids are long gone. I saw two things that reminded me of you just said Skynet. So I saw an interview with Arnold in reference. Someone asked him a question about Patrick Arnold or Patrick Schwarzenegger, his son, who's in The White Lotus, who apparently has a full nude scene. So they asked Arnold about it, and he's like, so I'm there watching the show, and then, you know, I see my son and his dong is hanging out. It was absolutely hilarious. I just love listening to Arnold. And I don't know. If you get a chance to look that up, it's actually hilarious. And then I was watching a show. I don't know what show it was because we've been watching a bunch of different good shows. But someone was wearing a Jesus Terminator shirt. So it's Jesus, but he's got the red eye, the Terminator eye, and it just says, I'll be back on it. And I thought it was brilliant. Oh, I know what it was. We're watching Department Q on Netflix, which is an amazing cop drama. So if you get a chance to see it, it's highly recommended. It takes place in Scotland. But one of the guys at the church that they go to talk to is wearing that I'll be back, and it's Jesus Terminator. It's an awesome shirt. So you did this showstopper softball thing. I'll see if I can't put these in the video portion of the show.
Yeah, so I'll probably engrave that on a leather patch and put that on a hat.
Oh, that's cool.
But for the most part, I haven't been doing too much just because we've been so busy. Poor Annie has been trying to. So she did some aprons for a friend of ours. Her dad has a barbecue spot.
Okay.
So she used her Cricut and her heat press to put his logo on a couple of aprons. And they're like, hey, we love them. We want some more and some t-shirts. Well, something's going on with our fucking heat press.
Oh, no.
To where it's jumping in temperature and it's straight up melting the vinyl.
Yee, that ain't good.
Yeah, so she's ruined.
Oh, no.
Like at this point, we're losing money on this job.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, and I've looked it up. There's no way to fix it. You basically throw out your Cricut heat press and buy a new one.
That sucks.
So we'll probably just use a regular house iron because I know there's kind of ways around it, but it's a smaller area, so it's going to take longer.
Right.
But in theory, she'll just be able to get it done right the first time. So she's been really, really discouraged on that and been in tears more than once.
I'm so sorry. That sucks.
So that's been frustrating, but at the same time, like,
once it gets fixed.
Yeah.
You know, I have that huge heat press that was sent to me by that Chinese company. You should look into getting one of them. Yeah, I have. I did all my t-shirts with it. I did the logos.
Well, that's the thing. We don't do enough of the apparel stuff to really justify buying a heat press like that.
Yeah, you'd have to sell. I
could barely justify buying the Cricut one, and if it's just going to take a dump on me, no, I'm not going to really. I'm not inclined to buy a new one.
Right.
Now, what I would be more inclined to do would be to buy the screen printing attachment to go with my laser engraver, and then screen print.
That would be cool.
That I would be more inclined to do. Although that takes longer because you have to wait for the ink to dry unless you buy the freaking heating thing to dry it.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to do that. I would rather save my money and get a CNC, which at this rate I'll probably get sometime around 2000 and never.
That's not far off. That could be tomorrow, actually.
Yeah. Well, there's always something. Whether it's stuff with the kids or a car needs tires or there's a repair that needs to be made, or there's something that comes up with the house. There's always freaking something. So as much as I want to buy the CNC, I don't see that happening in the near future, or as near a future as I thought it would when I came back from WorkbenchCon.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to save up all your overtime from all your trainees to get that. Remember we talked about all that extra time you had? Something else.
Yep.
Something else must have popped up, huh?
Yep.
Yep.
There's always something. There is always something. There's always some sort of pain in the ass that is expensive. Or, for instance, the month of June. In June alone, in the span of like a calendar week usually, we have our anniversary, Father's Day, and Annie's birthday. And that like wipes the fat. And then we have trips that we take, and then
well, you
there's
gotta,
dance recital crap. There's pitching lessons. There's
dancing and pitching.
I'm just waiting. Like one of the dogs is going to need to go to the fucking vet, I guess. Like at some point.
Well, you can solve that waiting with like for that a 13-cent 9mm round. Probably take care of that issue.
Yeah. Actually, in this economy, 13 cents? Yeah,
right. Maybe back in the day it was 13 cents. So, so you haven't made anything. Shop time's quiet.
Not recently. Okay. I haven't had time. When I have recruits, it's through periods of dry time where I'm just, I get home, I just want to recuperate for the next week. Because I mean, you know it. You're thinking for two people.
Right.
Because I have to think about not just the investigation that's going on. I have to think about how I can train this person while simultaneously staying in line with what's actually going on.
Right. Yeah.
So that way, if something happens and they you know, fail out or something, I can continue it. So whenever I have a recruit, like, it really
puts a hamper.
Takes away from that, which is a bummer because I need that to help keep me from being a total asshole.
Yeah.
It's a vicious cycle. Like I do want to try and do something today. Like I think I might try to do the hat thing today.
That's cool.
But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how the rest of the day goes, how the dogs want to be when I let them out of their crates. I feel bad.
They'll be out soon. Cause we're almost
it keeps
done.
Them from barking.
Yeah, no, they're great. I haven't heard them once, so they must like it in there. It's not too bad for them. So I started volunteering at the horse farm about an hour away from me. And I had told you I went to go see my buddy Art up there. He, like, runs the property and builds stuff. He's got a shop. He just he bought for the shop, he bought the Harvey table saw, 52-inch. I think he said 4 horsepower. Oh, anyways. So I was up there. I went up to do some training for sidewalking where you walk next to the horse and you, they put the person up there on the horse. They can either mount on a platform or they can get lowered on by a lift, you know, if they're in a wheelchair. So you walk next to the horse and you do like a thigh hold with your arm goes across their thigh and then you hold the front of the blanket the saddle sits on, or you can do an ankle hold front or back, or if they're really not balanced well, you do what's a hip hold. So you put your arm up into their hip and keep them balanced. So I got to do some training, and then I got to last week, I did 2 sidewalking sessions or 2 weeks ago. Then they asked me to come back last week. And then do 2 sidewalking sessions. And I got to work with the one horse. I sent you a picture of his name was King. He's 18 hands tall. He's a monster, such a gentle giant. So while I was doing all this, I was walking on a bad knee because my knee's been giving me problems since the back problem. And I'm in therapy for my knee. And I thought it would be fun last week after spending a day at therapy doing leg work to then go on a long walk with Kim after when she got home from work. And then my knee hyperextended backwards and slammed the bones together. So I went to go my sidewalking.
That's fun.
Yeah. I went to the sidewalking event last on Friday. and I could barely walk. And the woman who runs the volunteer program, she's like, she knew I was dealing with a bad knee. She's like, you don't look like you're walking very well. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not. And she's like, I can stand in for you today. And I'm like, well, no, I spent an hour to drive here. I'm not going to stick this burden on you. I'll do it. I'll just, you know, she's like, well, we're not doing gallop, no trotting today. So sometimes you have to trot next to the horse, which I've done like 2 weeks ago. But these two riders, they can't trot. They don't have this core stability and stuff. So they weren't going to be trotting. So no trotting. And then I stayed and did cleaned windows for 2 hours. So by the time I got home, I could barely walk. And I told her the next day, I messaged her. I'm like, yeah, I told my physical therapist, and she's like, I can't sidewalk for a couple weeks. So I won't be sidewalking for about 2 more weeks, I think. As I get better every day, my knee's feeling better. I just can't go up and down stairs really well. So I told my therapist, I'm like, I can go up if I stand on my toes. I can go up the stairs and down the stairs with no weight and no pain on me. She's like, what? So you stop doing that. You're going to cause another problem in a different area of your leg. Just walk up it normally. If it's painful, just go slow. So I'm almost at the point where I can go up and down stairs with no pain. But while I was there, my buddy Art came out because I'm there and he's there working. So he had made an iPad holder out of walnut with some gold pins in it. So it like folds up and then you set your iPad on it. And he was showing me how it works, and he gave it to me. And I'm like, I couldn't get it to flip in the right direction. And then I broke it. I broke Art's iPad holder made out of walnut. So I'm like, oh, this doesn't work at all. And he's like, you just broke it. I'm like, what? And I just, okay, here. I gave it back to him for him to fix, apparently, at some point. I hope he can fix it. That's the closest I've been to woodworking, is breaking Art's stuff in the last few weeks. But John Erickson's coming down next week. Next week? Or he's going to be here for the 4th of July week. He's actually coming down, I think, on the 27th, or coming up, I should say, because he's down there and I'm up here.
Is he going to be on the show?
I don't know. We'll see. That Monday that he'll be here that we would normally record, I have training at 3 in the afternoon at the horse farm and PT in the morning. So I don't know if we'll be able to squeeze in a show, but I might cancel the training part and we can still record after PT. But I'm trying to find something for us to do. And then last week, before I hurt my knee again where I couldn't walk for 5 days, I went back to my client's house to finally do final measurements for the bookshelves and the cabinetry that I'm going to be building for her. So I got that all sewn up. I got all the final measurements, double-checked everything. So when John gets here, he's actually going to help me build the bookshelves and the cabinetry for my client. It'll be so much easier having a second hand here throwing around full sheets of 3/4 inch plywood. I'm looking forward to the help. So with his help, we should be able to knock them out. And then we both watched The Bear. Are you familiar with The Bear?
I know the show.
Okay. So I just binged the first 3 episodes or seasons again, because the new season drops on the 25th. And some of the places that they show, there's a montage of all these fabulous hot dog places in Chicago. And one of them is which I grew up, it was in my hometown, I grew up going to like numerous times a week. And one is called Superdog, which is on the northwest side of Chicago. Fantastic. So I'm going to take John to some of the places that are on the show, which should be a lot of fun. And hopefully we're going to catch a minor league game.
There you go.
Because we have like 5 minor league teams in the area. So I don't want to bring him to a Sox game or a Cubs game, because expensive to go to a Cubs game, dangerous to go to a Sox game. So not a fan of the South Side where the Sox play, although I do love the park. But so, yeah, I'm looking forward to John coming. That'll be fun. Hopefully we'll get some stuff filmed and I'll be able to post some stuff on Instagram during this build. That's the plan. I don't know. We'll see. That's it. That's all I have going on with shop stuff, which is basically nothing. So that's it. Hey,
this part of the show is always like, it's becoming very anticlimactic
because we don't have anything going on. So
we both don't have a ton of time, and
yeah,
it's not like people are breaking down the door to order stuff. So
I had to shut off my Etsy shop though, because the CNC, right? So that's,
oh yeah,
I know it's costing me a few dollars, and I have that one customer who wants me to do three more country or four more country flags for the business in Georgia that ordered the 15 from me. So I looked at the flags in detail. I don't need a CNC for them. It's just paint and stickers or emblems or whatever. So I think I can do that job for her. But maybe when John's here, I'll also just work on fixing the CNC if I can. I downloaded all the software to this computer, and I'm going to try and bypass the shop computer, which is a 2010 version of Windows, or Windows 10 or whatever the hell it is that's old. And I think that might have corrupted my CNC software. So I'm going to get a docking station and try and run it from here and see if that helps. Maybe it was that simple and I've just waited 8 months to fix it because I was an idiot. I don't know. I'm costing myself money. So I got a cheap CNC. If you want to buy one, I'll send it to you.
Well, it's not making you any money if it's sitting there. If you get it back working, I would consider buying it from you.
Yeah, I'm fed up. So I think it's just a simple issue I just have to address. So we'll find out. We'll swap CNC for lasers.
No, it's got bad juju for you. You should just send it to me and I'll see if I can do an exorcism on it.
You probably can. It only takes like two days to put it together. See if it'll
treat me better.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And that's serious. It did take me 2 days to put it together. So, all right, cool. Real quick, Don Can was showing me some stuff. He's working on that little miniature laser stuff that you could do because my laser's not up. But they're like, I'll send you the picture when we're done. But they're like bread ties, but it's like a butt, just a butt. Or it's a cat butt or a dog butt. Absolutely hilarious. I'm like, please send me some of those because I want to put them on our loaves of bread that the kids use and see if they notice. They're absolutely hilarious. I'm going to send them to you.
They won't. It's going to go completely over their head.
You don't think they'll catch it?
No.
Okay.
Not one prayer.
All right. Well, we'll see. I'll let you know when we get them.
Speaking of bread, I got a slice of like semi-fresh baked bread like staring at me right now.
Did you make it?
Annie did.
Oh, I saw you eating a piece of it earlier.
I got one bite out of it.
Right, I'm going to go warm up some.
It was really good.
Pizza that we had on Friday night. Morgan's car needed an exhaust, so I dropped it off and went to pick it up, and then we had to wait, so we went to go get some pizza. And $650 later, Morgan's car is fixed. Oh, she bought a Jeep too.
Ooh.
Yeah, she bought herself
that's fun.
Her and her fiance bought a Jeep. Wrangler Rubicon X. Apparently in California,
a nice one.
That it came from California, and they shipped it out here, and the California dealer didn't include or forgot to file the origin paperwork, manufacturer MOS, it's called, or manufacturer origin, something or other. So it's a ghost car that we can't title and register. So now they're fighting.
That's cool. yeah, we had something similar happen to our van, and then Annie got a ticket for having expired reg because we never got the notice to pay.
Right. Well, I told Morgan, I'm like,
yeah,
send one payment to this company until they send you your damn registration. So the two dealerships have been fighting because he being my soon-to-be son-in-law, works for BMW. So they did a dealership purchase, and they bought it for cost. So apparently in California, they're just like, fuck it, just send them the Jeep. We're not making any money on it without doing all the other paperwork. So then they finally told this out here, the BMW dealership, well, you have it now, so now it's your responsibility. And they're like, oh, wait a minute. No, it's not. You shipped it here. It's still your responsibility. So now the two dealerships are fighting. So they have a letter that they can drive with. I don't know how because there's no registration on the vehicle. So I told them, I told Morgan, don't drive. And we can't park it in the driveway, so it's not on the street as an unregistered vehicle on the street. So she's getting tickets, but her fiance took it to BMW today. So I'm like,
well, there's limited use permits that you can get.
Yeah, well, I think that's what this letter is. It's like
to or temporary and from, use.
Yeah, to and from.
Yeah.
Work.
So you can like one of the things in California is, you know, smog.
Right.
So one of the only ways to get a car to pass smog is you have to drive it around. Well, if you can't get the car to pass smog, it won't get registered. So you get a temporary use permit.
Okay.
To drive it around, so it'll pass smog. It's so fucking stupid. My state is so dumb.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the only state.
That's why I have more friends that are leaving the state.
You'll be following them in about 20 years.
If we lose any more friends, we might just leave. Like once, like in all honesty, once our parents die,
yeah,
we may not stay here. Like that's really the only reason we're here.
No, that makes a lot of sense too. So, but that'll be a while. So hopefully you'll be done with your law enforcement career. Yeah. And then you go. So come down to Alabama. We'll be glad to have you.
I've looked there. I've looked in Tennessee. I've looked in Amarillo, Texas. Also found out disabled vets in Texas don't pay property tax, and that's pretty freaking nice.
Wow. Yeah, that is really nice and well-deserved.
Thank you, tinnitus.
Even if your disability is tinnitus, which I have, I can't.
Hey. It started acting up yesterday, and
I know how brutal it is. Yeah.
I know it sounds stupid to like most people who have never experienced it, just like a ringing in your ears, but sometimes it gets so high pitched and so relentless that like you just want to put your head through a wall.
Yeah.
And that was happening to me yesterday. I was just like, this sucks.
Or you get one of those,
and there's nothing you can do to make it better.
A sewing needle or one of those knitting needles and just jam it in your ear. That usually works for me.
I'm pretty sure it would still just ring.
All right. I'm pretty sure you're right. I don't know what would fix it.
It's funny because like I've had it. I've been out of the military for over 10 years now.
Wow.
And like I never knew, like I never put two and two together as far as what it was. It's like, yeah. Oh, my ears ring. And I couldn't remember, like, has it always been like this?
Yeah. But no, it hasn't.
But, like, it's fucking, like, it sucks. Like, it's kind of nice now. Like, I feel bad because I tell Annie, I'm like, she'll ask me, like, you all right? Like, tinnitus is acting up. But whereas before, like, I never knew what it was. So I never complained about it. I just figured that's life.
Right. Yes. And unfortunately, it is now for the rest of your life. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to episode.
They gave me the disability check.
Yeah, and the big money. Episode 73.
No, it's not big money.
Thank you to our sponsors at Surf Prep Sanding at www.surfprepsanding.com. Hashtag Team Surf Prep, as Brandon is showing off on his YouTube, right below his Full House Woodworking banner. So thank you to Full House Woodworking for sponsoring the show, Surf Prep for sponsoring the show, and Morazzo Woodworking for sponsoring the show. I got Baby Yoda and Captain's Shield right here behind me. Episode 73 brought to you by those fine sponsors. If you want to send a question, Brandon, where shall they send that?
Well, you should send it in an email, an electronic mail, or voice memo in an electronic mail to handcuffsandsawdustpodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach out to Mike on Instagram at Morazzo Woodworking or to myself at Full House Woodworking. You could also reach out to the show at Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast on Instagram. I don't know why you would. Nobody really checks it.
I do post video highlights and stuff from the show. And eventually.
But are we really checking the DMs though?
I do, but it's like once a week. So.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
It's better to send it to one of us.
And when you said electronic mail. An email that reminded me of Thor when he's talking to Doctor Strange. He's like, did you try sending an electronic letter, an email? He's like, no, why would I? I don't have a computer. So, but those of you that have computers.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Yeah, thank you I did enjoy that. I enjoyed also seeing your face.
You could also try carrier pigeon, but I don't know how it would find us.
None are trained to come to my house, so I don't know how that would work either.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
So. But, I mean, you could try it and see what happens.
Right, you can try it. Your friend might. End up with a pigeon. So have a great day, Brandon. Get on that bread.
I'm gonna also like reheat up part of a ribeye steak that's in the fridge.
All right, stop talking, man. I'm starving. Ain't nothing for me to make, so I'm gonna go make three small pieces of thin crust pizza and that'll be it for me. Damn it.
It's not even good pizza. Like, who likes the thin crust?
It's so good. It's really good. It's probably the best thin crust pizza. Thin crust. We have all types.
Okay, you know, we're going to talk next week. We're talking thin crust versus everything.
All right.
Else,
okay. Next week.
I have thoughts.
All right. And when you actually come out here one day, we'll get you all those types of pizza so you can judge for yourself personally. Chicago.
I've honestly never had deep dish.
Oh, yeah. You got to have some Lou Malnati's deep dish. I'll send you one.
It's one of those things that I've wanted to try, but I've never been in Chicago.
Yeah. Eventually, we'll get you out here one day. It's only been 4 years.
I don't want to get shot, though.
We won't go into the city. We'll enjoy the Chicago pizza from outside the city limits. We'll be fine.
Okay. Chicago. I do like Detroit-style pizza. There was a place that had.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's like it's a square pie.
Okay.
And it's semi deep dish.
Okay. It's more like a pan pizza.
It's like very, very. Yeah, it's more like pan crust.
Okay.
But I love a good pan crust.
Hmm.
I like carbs.
Yeah, me too. Too much.
That's how you get to look like me.
It's all paid and bought for. What did you say? Paid for? It's all paid for.
Bought and paid for?
Bought and paid for. Yeah. Thank you. All right. With that, we'll talk to you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching if you're on YouTube. And thanks for sending in questions.
Until next time.
Until next time. See you boys later. And girls. There's got to be one girl out there watching and listening. So thank you very much.
Probably.
Stay safe on the street, Brandon, and in the shop. Peace.
Okay, I love you. Bye.
Bye.